The Rodcast.
If you want more information, go to rodders.com and click on Rodders FM. It's the 20th show of Rodders FM. Just think, that's it means it's, if it had been going for 20 years, which it hasn't, it would be a hell of a lot older than me. Now, I am Rodders, otherwise known as The Rod. Now, without further ado, or any more monkeying around like Monkety Tunkety, it's our 20th anniversary. Let's get on with the show!
Warning, warning, this show is complete bollocks and is not fit for human consumption. If you or anyone you know are suffering severe mental episodes due to the content of this show, call the Rodders FM Psychiatric Helpline on 0844-8844-831.
You have been warned.
Your week's been enough. You've taken crap from everyone you know. But Friday come like morning sun. It's Rodders' brand new show.
It's got Z-list guests, crazy competitions, Mystic Mog and Beelzebub.
This song is diabolical.
Thank Rod, it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank Rod, it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank Rod, it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday.
You're listening to Rodders FM, live across the internet, on rodders.com. Now, it's a very exciting night for all of us here at Rodders FM, because it's our 20th anniversary. You can check out our website, rodders.com, rhodders.com. Apologies for the late start, but I reckon it's all going to pay off in the end. All the waiting. This is going to be a fab show. It's called Thank Rod It's Friday. Shout out to Henry and everybody listening tonight. Now, let me just introduce you to our special guest. Let's just fade that twiddly little bit of music off there. And this is who is coming on our show.
Hello, you're listening to Rodders FM. I'm Jonty.
I'm Monkety Tankety. Wound.
Yeah, orange bear, bear. Yeah, get away, you big orange fool. Anyway, that's who we are. Wound.
Yes, that's right. We have got the one and only Jonty coming on the show. Now, also tonight on the show, we have a live party report from an obscure little college in the middle of nowhere, done by yours truly. No, not me truly. What am I on about? Done by my idiotic co-host, the Professor.
Rodders FM, more fun than a kick in the balls.
His name is Jonty. His best friend is a monkey who nearly beat him in Big Brother. It's Jonty, everyone! Now, Jonty, welcome to the show. Thank you very much
Thanks
for joining us
much.
Tonight. And let's start the ball rolling. You were on the last series of Big Brother, I'm right in believing.
That's right, I certainly was.
That's jolly good, because otherwise I think you would have been a con merchant if you'd just come on saying you were from Big Brother. Now, let's start. How did you get on Big Brother? Because it's become an absolute cult phenomenon. It started off as a novel idea people watched, because there was nothing out there else on television. And plus, it's quite a weird idea. But then it took off. There's been so many series, and it's just so successful. But how did you get on the show?
It's a very long process, actually. It started on the 10th of February. While Celebrity Big Brother was showing, they were advertising for people to come along on the 10th or the 11th of February in London, the XL Centre. So I remember it was freezing cold that morning, and I nearly didn't go, because it was so cold. I thought, well, I'm quite warm in bed. I don't really, why am I making myself get up at 5 in the morning? But they put me in a group of 10. They could ask you whatever questions they wanted to ask you. You then had to put your wrists out, and they'd put a stamp on your hand if you'd got through to the next stage, and they wouldn't if you hadn't. Most people fall at that stage. You then have to queue up for another 3 or 4 hours. You do a questionnaire that takes between half an hour to fill in. You've then got interviews with a camera this time with two people who don't introduce themselves from Big Brother. It turns out one of them is one of the big execs, but he didn't say that.
How did you find that? Was that quite daunting, or did you just try and ignore the camera?
I was actually quite drunk at the time, so I was finding it all rather funny. But, it's designed to be daunting. Everything's designed to put you off. And I have my teddy bears with me, which, of course, helps me and always do my confidence and everything as well. But, it's designed to be daunting, and the lead-up to it has been, anxious about before I, got in there. But no, it's fine when I was in there. It's very different from the X Factor there, because the X Factor, you actually see how they talk to the people, and it's a lot more aggressive than our lot were, but you know exactly what they think. With our lot, they never gave you positive feedback, negative feedback. They never said, I'm sorry, you're not suitable, or congratulations, you're in, nothing.
It's like it sounds a bit like the Spanish Inquisition, only maybe a little more efficient. And we've got a lot of your fans in the chat room all chatting away like lunatics. We've had a very profound question from Henry, and I reckon not even Plato would struggle to answer this one. Do you like candy floss?
Did I like it? What, implying I no longer like it.
Or do you like, rather? I got the tense wrong there.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry, that's all right. Yes, I do like candy floss very much. I'm not having any at the moment because I'm actually supposed to be dieting. I'm
back to the audition process. Well, how did they tell you that you were on, that you had got through? Did they ring you or email you, or what happened?
Yes, they rang me. I mean, at that first stage, you then get invited back a few days later to the diary room. And after that one, they actually say to you, please don't ring us. We'll either ring you in a few days, a few weeks, a few months, or we might never ring you. And you say, oh, right, okay, thank you very much. And then you've had this big build-up for a whole weekend, and then that's it, you're back to work. Over a month later, the last time I thought, I'm obviously not on it, they rang me, and then there's another whole process. The next bit, I'm probably not supposed to say exactly what went on, but they whittle you down again at that stage. And then once they've made a decision that you're in a smallish group, they start ringing, phoning, house visits, work visits. You have to see their psychologist, their psychiatrist.
Did the psychiatrist have one of those really stereotypical but nice couches that you had to lie on and go, oh, doctor, life's so stressful at the moment. I put my shoes on the wrong way round and I look like a fool. Or what was it like?
I probably wouldn't be able to say too much about the psychologist and the psychiatrist, but they're basically, their job is to put you off, is to get you to think about why you're actually doing this. Please think about all the things that could go wrong. If you do get on the show and people absolutely hate you, which is possible, these are the things that could happen to you when you come out. Have you thought about that?
They didn't mind the odd nutter coming onto the show, because that's what entertainment is all about. But I think they were worried about, they wanted to screen people such as Shabazz, who was put on suicide watch, or so I read in the paper.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I've spoken to him. He's actually a very, very nice guy, but yes, he was. So they vetted us very carefully this year, because they're, it can mess up your life. I mean, that's one of the things they warn you before you go on board. So they want to make sure there are no suicide risks. There's also the race thing in the beginning of 2007, which we weren't allowed to talk about at all on the show. They did discuss that before, and they made it clear, no homophobic comments, no racist comments. And, the execs came in just before I went on to remind us of that again. And they said, look, basically, there are only three ways you're going to leave here. You're going to walk out, you're going to be evicted, or you're going to win. One of those three ways. The only way anything else will happen, i.e. will kick you out, is either if you're violent, and they said, well, the only person who's going to be violent around here is Monkey Tunkity, and
he's very, very violent. Now, you were talking a while ago about the racism internet, what am I talking about? The racism incident, I should really learn to speak, racism incident, which was where Shilpa Shetty was called racist remarks by Jade Goody. I would really love to know your opinion on it.
It's a very difficult one, because I only know that the same way as you do, from an audience point of view. And having been on there, I'm aware that what you see is heavily edited and manipulated, which, again, they warn you about before you go on. So it's difficult to know exactly what went on. Not just Jade, but her mother and Joe and Danielle all made comments which could be perceived in that way. I would say that there's a clearer case for saying that there was bullying going on. I mean, you have a whole army of people ganging up on one person, that's bullying. I don't think there's a lot of doubt that was going on. Whether it was out-and-out racism is another matter. I mean, there were two people whose names I won't mention on the show who made comments about Jewish people in front of me, and I'm of Jewish origins. But I was confident in my mind that I wasn't dealing with racism here. I think, I'm very anti-racist. If you find yourself on the receiving end of racism, you should always report it. However, if somebody makes a comment and you're pretty sure that they didn't mean it in a nasty way and they're actually nice people, you also have to think very carefully about whether you report that, who it's going to get somebody perfectly decent into trouble. And these are issues, really, which the individual has to sort out. I mean, there's somebody talking about racism saying, if you think you're a victim of it, then you are.
Yeah, we got a question in from Anna, and it was something along the lines of this, but there's so much going on in the chat room, it's hard to keep track of. Do you think you were portrayed fairly? Because there is a lot of editing going on, and they only screen an hour a day from 24, so they can basically edit it to show almost whatever the producer wants. So did you watch any of yourself afterwards, and do you think you were portrayed fairly?
I did watch myself afterwards, and she's 100% right. You are edited. They do warn you about that before. And one thing the psychiatrist did say, he said, well, look, you realise on the show they make a caricature of you. And in your case, in Bolly, you're like a cartoon character already, so you're like the Roadrunner or something. But what I did feel was that for the 5 weeks I was there, the first week and the fifth week, you see a reasonable amount of me, and I'm being completely crazy. The middle 3 weeks, you don't see me at all.
The thing I liked about Big Brother, now don't take this the wrong way, but I liked it because you didn't have to think at all to watch it. The series I got most sucked into was the one it was last year, and I finished my GCSEs. I'd come out of an exam, you know, my brain absolutely addled, you know, in probably the state of Monkey Tunkety's left foot, and I just sit down, flop on the sofa, and watch Big Brother, and it was just, you know, a nice little jacuzzi bath and relaxation for my brain. And what's it actually like being in Big Brother? Because I've watched it live, and it seems honestly quite boring. They seem to be sitting around not doing much.
When you're in there, it's a very different experience, because it's the opposite. You can't escape from it. Well, you have escaped from the outside world, but you can't do any further escaping within there. If you've argued with somebody, which luckily I didn't, but or if you've got any problem at all, you can't escape into the internet, telephones, watching TV, reading books about Scottish history, or whatever.
If somebody was really on the edge of a mental breakdown, like say the catalytic converter in their cortex had, you know, just backfired, and they were really finding it hard to cope, would they then be allowed access to a psychiatrist?
Yes. The only time you're not filmed in there is if you're speaking to, and it's actually their psychologist they put you through to rather than their psychiatrist, but that's their policy. And I mean, Chanel went to see him, Brian did, several people did, and they'll announce on air, you know, Chanel is currently in the diary room speaking to the psychologist, but that's all you'll get. They'll tell you that she's speaking to the psychologist, you won't know his name, you won't know what she's saying, you don't know what he's saying, you don't see or hear any of it. You'll just be told that that's happening. That's the only time the cameras are ever switched off.
But going back to the actual Big Brother house, you were saying how the cameras are on all the time, except when you're talking to a psychiatrist.
That's right.
Excuse me. When there's cameras absolutely everywhere, even in the loo. How do you go to the loo? Do you sort of pad the bowl with toilet paper to not make a noise, or did you feel really self-conscious?
No, not really. I thought I would. That was one of the things I was most scared of about going in there. I never had any worries about being in the bathroom with no clothes on or showering in front of cameras. But the idea of being on the loo really did bother me. But somehow, when you're in there, it just doesn't. Anyway, the only reason they've got cameras in the loo is because otherwise you might use it as an escape place.
Just think, there's some spotty little video editing executives sitting there in a chair watching you go to the loo. That must be... I couldn't get used to that. Did you feel under a lot of pressure while you were in Big Brother? Like, did you worry about how you were being perceived by the public?
Yes, very much. Because during those 5 weeks, I had no idea at all what anybody thought of me.
Did you, how long did you think you'd last in Big Brother? Did you set yours? Because some people set themselves very clear objectives, like, oh, I'm going to try my best to make it so many weeks.
I just took it as read I'd be there for 1 week. I always thought I'd do 1 week. Friends and family always said they thought I would. Psychiatrist said, he said that might not happen and that I needed to think about what would happen if I were there longer.
And going back to some of your housemates, including your teddy bears, how many teddy bears did you bring with you?
You're only allowed a limited amount of baggage, so the more of those you bring, the less there is things. So I thought six would probably do me. I've got 50, I don't know.
You've got 50. And we've got a question emailed to me, radio@rodders.com, spelled with a H is my email address. This is from Jamie in London. You left Big Brother, have you adopted any new teddy bears?
I'm trying to think, have I had any other new ones? There's somebody who adopted who online. There's her daughter once sent me a monkey. She's really exclusive her. Called Tankity Monkey.
Unfortunately, I get chucked into a boarding school during the week because, you know, I'm not responsible. Society can't cope with me, and so I'm off to boarding school every week. And in the boarding house, of our boarding house, Henry will know all about this, there is a huge cuddly toy sheep by the name of Alan, and it talks a bit like this. Hello, my name's Alan. And I, you know, befriended Alan, helped him do coursework, put him in front of the fielding house computer, which annoyed everyone because they wanted to use the computer. And the trouble is, the more I socialised with Alan, the more unpopular I got before people were actually kidnapping Alan, and I found him on the roof of the dining hall one week. So I had to stop all this nonsense, and I only talk to Alan when nobody else is around. Did it this cuddly toy thing wind up any housemates? Because I remember the one comment, when you move from the halfway house, I just thought this was absolutely brilliant. You come in, you know, with Monkety Tunkety, who was, you know, in full tantrum, and bunny form was wistfully pondering his own existence, and you go up to one of the housemates, he asks you out of politeness, oh, how's it in the house? And he goes, oh, it's okay, really, but I think I've annoyed people with my teddy bears.
Yes, I think it did surprise people at first. The first week, I was doing a lot of kissing of the teddy bear.
On the whole, the housemates, especially the girls, seem to find this very, very amusing, and they even permitted you to spank them at one point.
They did. That was very jolly.
And I understand you have been in touch with the fantastic, who is a friend of the show, Mr. Nibs. You probably know him as Chris, don't you?
That's right, yes.
What a fantastic guy Mr. Nibs is.
He is. He's very good. Nightclub gig in Bangor, and that was very nice. It was 4 months, and all I had to do was turn up. They gave me lots of free drink, got me drunk, everybody laughed at me, and then they paid me £400. We all went home.
That's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
I'd love to be paid just to get laughed at. It'd be great. And in the nightclub, that's brilliant. It's like people like Britney Spears get and Paris Hilton, love them or hate them, I'm on the latter side of that equation, they get paid for going to parties. Brilliant. And in the chat room, there is a huge fan following of yours, mostly from a Doctor Who forum.
Ah.
That's brilliant. And as you're a huge fan of Doctor Who, we're going to do a Doctor Who quiz. Here's a bit of the old Doctor Who music. Now, question number one. What was the first actor to play the part of the Doctor?
It was William Hartnell, who was there from 1963 to 1966.
That's correct. And, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Doctor.
Doctor Who.
Correct. And on to the last final question. Which planet did the Daleks come from?
They come from the planet Skaro.
And apparently the planet Skaro was a lot like Dudley, so they thought they'd better move out and inhabit other areas of the universe. Jonty, you've been an absolutely fantastic guest. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to or give shout-out to or anything?
I don't know if I do, but I think Bunnyform might want to. Hello! I just want to say a big hello to everybody. I haven't really been included in this, but I'd like to say hello! Oh, here's Kiki.
I'm absolutely I didn't want to hear that. I should be based, I don't want to be raised.
Oh, he's gone
mad.
The
orange bear. Bear. It's a very eloquent bear from there.
Now, before you go, if any of your teddy bears would like advice on how to cope with the dizzy heights of fame, we've got Weelzebub right here, and he's insisting that I play his jingle. Would any of them like advice, or have you got to dash off?
Let's see, Bear, would you like to listen to it? Bear. I think that's his way of saying yes.
That sounds like a lesson. Yes, hold tight, we're just going to play Weelzebub's little jingle, or as he gets very cross.
Hello!
Hello, I'm Weelzebub. I'm in a foul mood. I've eaten 44 guinea fowl. Get it? It was a joke. It wasn't funny, was it? Good. I don't intend to bring good humour to anyone. So how can I help you, Mr. Muggity Tuggity?
I've been told I need to have anger management lessons, and that made me furious. I don't need to have anything like that. So, if I have to have it, where can I go?
If I were you, I'd go to BT, British Telecom, go into the door, turn right, turn left, I don't care, I'm just giving random directions to make myself seem knowledgeable, open the door of the nearest board meeting, and instead of suppressing your rage, let it all out in one big fiery ball of rage. Then, with the leftover radiation, you can boil a nice cup of tea.
Is that sound advice?
Wound!
I take that as a yes. Another satisfied customer. Weelzebub! I'm off! I'm in a rage!
Just like to thank you for coming on the show, John Z. Have you enjoyed your time on Rodders FM?
I certainly have. It's been fantastic, and thank you very much for inviting me.
No problem. You've got an awful lot of fans out there, and I think we've got time for one more question from Charlie, who, she says, did you get holiday pictures from Munkety Tunkety's holiday with Freddy?
Ah, no, I didn't. Jerry's got all of those. In fact, thanks for reminding me. Charlie for reminding me. I need to get copies of those. And the thing is, he was given a flat suitcase, all the people in the main house were. All of the halfway housemates were given rucksacks. And even by my last week, when I was no longer a halfway housemate, hadn't been for 4 weeks, I still had a rucksack, which I still have now. So I thought it'll smash it up if I put them in there, so it'll be better for Jerry to look after them. So he's got them all. But yeah, it's quite right.
That's brilliant. And you were made Big Brother for the day. This is the final question, then, for we got to end. Did you enjoy being made Big Brother for the day?
Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic. That was one of my best experiences while I was there, I think. That was right. Apart from giving the 5-minute history lecture for the broadcast. But yeah, that was my highlight. Really enjoyed that.
You've really brought my ratings up, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. Jonty, everyone! Brilliant. Thanks, Jonty. Hope to speak to you in the future.
Sure, hope to speak to you later.
Bye.
All the best. Bye.
Thank Rod, it's Friday!
And now we're going to have some good old thing we like to call music from a band called The More Assured. They're an unsigned band. This is one of my favourite songs by this band. It's called All In Your Head. Check out their MySpace, myspace.com/TheMoreAssured. Keep it locked, because You Make Me Sick is up next, followed closely by The Professor's Party Report.
I'm No matter what I think she said, that it's all in your head. No matter what you do, it's true that it's all in your head. Oh
And I've got a big announcement to make. Mr. Nibs from Russell Brand's Radio 2 show will be coming back on this show very shortly. Not tonight, obviously, but pretty soon he's going to come back on the show. We're going to do our greatest, silliest, and most outrageous feature.
Now's the part of the show where Rodders will go on a rant about what really makes him sick.
You make me fucking sick to my stomach.
You know what really makes me sick? Absolutely sick. Apart from disease, illness, MRSA, and other things. And the MRSA is pretty annoying. I'll talk about that later. B-days. They're so annoying, especially when you're young and when you are misinformed about B-days. I just don't know where to start. B-days, they look like little toilets on the floor. They look like toilets for midgets. But let me tell you, they're not. I've known many people, they're for washing your knackers in, if there are people out there who are still in the dark about B-days. I want to start a campaign to educate people, because I was misinformed as a child into what a B-day is for. I was told that it was for washing... Ow, I just hit my head on the mic. I was told it was for washing your feet in. And being a naive seven-year-old, I believe it. Because you normally believe what teachers say. So, you know, in a holiday in Greece, my parents find me washing my feet in a B-day. And I've been doing that for weeks. Lucky I didn't get any private parts growing on my feet. It absolutely disgusts me how people don't know what B-days are. And plus, I actually know somebody who... the day they were going home, got confused and did a turd in the B-day. Absolutely disgusting. I feel so sorry for the cleaner who had to clean it up. Right, I'm going to turn off this music because it does induce rage. Mr. Nibs will be coming back on the show at some point, and I've interviewed some gap students. So if you're thinking of taking a gap year, don't make the decision until the Rod, that's me referring to myself, in the third person, has talked to you about it. Here's another spontaneous jingle, which isn't very spontaneous because I've just announced it.
Rod is FM. Truth, justice, democracy. I'm blowing the crap out of the Iraq.
God bless America!
We're actually going to have a go at phoning the professor live on the show.
Party people!
That's right, it's now time for the professor's party review!
It's time to party!
He's partied all over the world, from Ireland to England, to Iraq, and even Afghanistan. And he's always the last to leave.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Yeah!
Yes, that's right. Now, we're going to give him a ring now. I doubt he'll pick up, because I tried to phone him off-air. But I said I'd ring him between half 9 and 9 o'clock. It's now nearly 10:30, but if I get through to his voicemail, I'm going to have a go at him and tell him it's all his fault.
Welcome to the O2 messaging service.
We held about talk.
No, I don't want to.
Take
your call.
Look, talk,
please
damn it.
Leave your message after the tone. To re-record your message...
I don't want to. You can't make me. I'll give you a bone.
Indecision. All right, I'll do it. Hello, this is Weelzebub here. I'm leaving a message after your tone. You were meant to come on the show tonight, but you... Rodders is incompetent and rang you over an hour late.
What are you talking about, Weelzebub? I didn't. You're not meant to tell him that.
Shut up, you mere mortal. You're a complete idiot. Oh, dearie me. Oh, I'm completely... I don't know about phones. Professor, you're an idiot. Good night. Rodders is also incompetent.
goodness sake, Wales Hub, why did you have to tell him that?
Oh, dearie me, I don't know. I just don't like you.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, at least he's honest. And at least I have a contingency plan. We're going to delve into the archive of Rodders FM now to listen to quite an ancient party report.
Yeah, whatever.
Hello, it's me again with another brilliant party report. Been some excellent parties, as you know, but this one just recently in a Chinese restaurant.
Did it take the biscuit?
Go away. No, it did not take the biscuit, alright?
I'll just stay out of this one.
Or the fortune cookie, okay? But top party, really good games, couple of drinking games, you know, 21, Ducky Fuzz, and, you know, the one where if you swear you have to drink, yeah? And, yeah, some great work. And then, just to finish it off, a great game of who can nick the most stuff. Nicking cutlery, bowls, stuff like that.
Any wagers?
I, of course, won because I managed to stick a plate down my trousers and walk out.
Oh, my God.
No, really, I did.
Was it a hot plate?
No, it wasn't hot.
Thank goodness for that,
But then someone did hit it while it was down there.
Did it break?
It did break, yes.
Really?
Yes. Oh, well, it sort of splintered. I've got a nice big cut. I won't say there, but at the top of my leg.
On top of your
right
thigh.
Side,
don't show me. Put
within,
it
within sort look, of an
please
inch
make
of my...
Put your trousers back on and get back
okay,
to
okay, I'm sorry. Well, I'm pretty much done. I've said what I want to say. Good party. Probably a 6 out of 10.
Well... But what did the waiters have to say about this huge mob of people? Did they know about you? Or
it was all pre-booked. Don't worry. That's a recommendation, actually. If you're going to have a party, pre-book. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Professor. That's wonderful having the Professor there. And even though we couldn't actually get through to him live, but he has assured me he'll be in the studio sometime this Christmas holiday. Now, let me tell you what's happening... in the future, for the Rod, which is me. Why don't we ask me? Rod, what's going on? Well, Rod, thank you. Back to me in the studio. What's going on? I'm very confused. I've actually been invited to a party. Wait, but I'm going to, it's my best mate's 18th birthday party. It's going to be completely bonkers. And yes, I will, via the answer phone machine, I will be leaving myself a message so I can do a party report. Please subscribe to the Rodcast, rodders.com, RHODDERS. It's spelled with a silent H, just to confuse you. And did you know that, a funny story, the Professor managed to hijack Radio Oxford. As extraordinary as that sounds. Big shout out to DJ Granny, who's just come into the chat room. What sort of a screen name is DJ Granny? It's like calling yourself DJ, very decrepit old man on a Zimmer. Only a bit more catchy, but I'm pleased you're listening in. But back to the Professor. Doing, what's it called? Hijacking Radio Oxford. They were doing some silly promotional thing in a shopping centre in Oxford. And I don't know why the Professor was in Oxford, because... he's a Wycombe Wanderers supporter, so he hates Oxford with a passion. And he was, when I went to Oxford with him, it was embarrassing. He was running around going, Oxford's a dump, which is not, it's quite nice. And the Professor goes up to the radio tent, and the presenter goes up to him and asks him something stupid like, hiya, what do you think of Kylie Minogue? And he just goes, what's up, I'm the Professor from Rodders FM, blah, blah, blah. And he gave out the website address. So on that note, I'm going to leave you. It's been a fantastic show. Stay tuned for some good music. This is Rodders here, signing out from Rodders FM. Good night!
You are listening to Rodders FM. Yes, it's Rodders FM. Crazy mother, yes, it's Rodders FM.